This is Digital Story Podcast number 532, May 17th, 2016. Today's theme is Finding Your Place. I'm Derek Story. When I left Southern California in 1989, I knew where I stood in the photo community. Everyone knew me at the local camera shop. I had paying gigs as a journalist, and quite honestly, I was comfortable in my own skin. I had grown up there. It was home. But when I relocated, nobody knew me in Northern California, and I had to invent myself all over again. And I'll never forget how hard it was to find my place. We all go through this as photographers, sometimes more than once. And that's the main topic for today's show. Finding your place. People who take pictures are different than photographers. There are many distinctions. The one I want to focus on today is niche. Snapshooters generally don't care about what type of photographer they are, whether it be portrait, landscape, fine art, journalist, or travel. But we do. Even if we say we're a generalist, that indicates some thought has been put into this concept. Why does this matter? Well, because it begins the process of connecting our artistic expression, which is photography, to who we are and what we care about. We're all a photographer and something else. Not just photographers. I mean, we could be passionate about hiking or about the care of animals, politics. It doesn't really make any difference. There are probably as many different things as there are people carrying cameras around. But when we can connect our shooting to what we really care about, then we can find our place as an artist. And I think that's really interesting. And I think, you know, a lot of workshops and seminars and books and all this stuff has been written about finding your style, right? I mean, we've seen this stuff. Finding your style, developing your style. Well, for me, that sort of comes organically out of finding out who you are. I mean, discovering your style or creating your style without knowing who you are, that seems like a weird exercise. It does, in all honesty. Now, on the other hand, if you really pay attention to the other things that you care about, to the other things that make you you, and then you use your camera to explore those things, won't your style just automatically come out of that? Then you'll have a style that's in alignment with who you are. And then you don't have to worry about your style, right? You don't, wow, is that shot in my style? Am I keeping to my style? I mean, it's almost like what people say about brand, right? Are you adhering to your brand? You've established a brand. Are you sticking to it? Oh my God. All that is so much work when you haven't done the first part, which is, all right, who am I and what do I care about? I care about writing. We're going to talk about me for a second. I care about writing. I love writing. I have been writing longer than I've been taking pictures, in all honesty. I didn't really start getting serious about photography until age 11. I was writing stuff, crazy stuff, long before that. When I discovered photography, then boy, did I fall in love with it. Oh my gosh, head over heels. And for a while, I was immersed in photography and I wasn't really writing very much. That doesn't mean I wasn't a writer anymore. It just means I had a lot to learn about photography and I was going to learn it. Then later on, as I became more comfortable with my photography, I came back to writing. And then the light bulb went on about combining the two. Writing and photography, writing about photography, all that kind of stuff. When I did that, which is what happened when I moved to Northern California, that is when my career took off. And that's when I became a lot more secure about what I was doing. Why? Because I was doing something that I was really crazy about. And it's a lot easier to be secure about something that you're just head over heels about than it is to be doing something that you think you should be doing. Everyone is talking about drones right now. I really should be a drone photographer. But inside, you actually hate drones. Now, I'm just using this as an example. I don't have anything against drones at all. You guys listened to a podcast a few weeks ago, right? You know this. I don't know why I picked drones, but here I am. Okay, so if you suddenly think you should be a drone photographer and you hate drones, my guess is you're probably not going to be that successful. And then even if you are successful, are you going to be that happy? Really? I mean, is that the way you want to spend your life? We already have regular jobs for that, don't we? I mean, that's what we're doing, you know, 8 to 5, 5 days a week. We don't want to mess up our photography that way. I really got clear on this when I tried my hand at product photography. I had some opportunities. This was when I was up here in Northern California to do some catalog work. It was using a camera. It was using lights. I mean, I had all these, you know, special tools and everything. What's not to love? Oh, I hated it. I did. I absolutely hated it. It was not for me. Okay, so just because you're using a camera and you love photography doesn't mean you're shooting the right thing. All right, so let's go over some points here to help get our heads around this whole thing. First of all, when you combine photography with a passion, another passion, you're doing what you love. You're doing what you love. All the way down the line, everything is in alignment. I love animals. I love photography. I love taking pictures of animals to help other people realize how important they are. The next thing is that when we start doing things like that, when we start getting all of our things we like in alignment, we'll rise above others. We'll rise above others because we're performing better. Let's go back to the animals thing. If you have a passion for animals, and I mean like cats and dogs and birds, all that stuff, chances are you understand them on some level deeper than maybe someone who doesn't think about animals very much or care about animals. So you will understand how birds behave. You will understand their patterns. You understand what they're going to do next. You know, all those little things. If you understand all that stuff and you have a camera in your hand, you're probably going to take better pictures of birds than that guy over there who doesn't really care about birds, but he happens to be in a place where they're flying around, so what the heck. You're probably going to be better if you spend your energy photographing things that are really important to you. Better longevity. Oh, I mean, nothing wears you out. Well, there's two things that will really wear you out in life, in my opinion. One is a job you hate, just wear you out. And the other is a relationship you're not happy in. Those two things will just wear you out. There's no relief except to get away from them. On the other hand, if you're doing stuff that you like, and I'm not even talking about for a living now, right? I'm talking about the time that you have away from your obligations that you get to use for your photography, okay? So I'm not even talking about full time. I'm talking about this section of your life that you have control over. If you have that in alignment, that little section of your life, you will have better longevity. You will have better longevity. I mean, right now, in all honesty, I can't wait for the next day and the day after that. I don't know how it feels to be bored. Between you and me, the universe is going to have a heck of a time pulling me away from this life on Earth, really. It's, I mean, when it's time, it's just going to have to just snatch me because I am not going to go any other way. I have too much to do, too many things I want to do, too many things I haven't had a chance to do yet. And I'm going to keep chipping away at them, and there's always going to be something else. One thing leads to another, leads to another. Did you feel this way about a job you had that you did not like? You were not looking forward to tomorrow unless tomorrow was Saturday. Right? But if it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, forget it. Friday, okay. We'll accept Friday because it's the day before Saturday. That's all you're looking forward to. You need to make a change. You'll have better longevity if you get this stuff in alignment. Financial reward. How many successful people have you heard say, I can't believe they're paying me to do this? I hear it all the time. I can't believe they're paying me to do this. And you're looking at them and you're going, you know what? You're pretty damn good at what you're doing. I know why they're paying you to do it. But the point there is, because they're doing something they love and because they have developed skill at it and because they've had a little bit of luck, maybe, right? Luck is one of those things, in all honesty, that comes out of hard work. I mean, there's pure luck. And there's a few of those that come around. Most luck comes out of hard work. And maybe it's just because I'm an American, I believe that. I mean, I know that's a very American way to look at things. But here I am. I was born in California. I'll cop to that. At any rate, aside from pure luck, business luck usually comes out of one step in front of the other, in front of the other, in the right direction that leads you to that door that you open, and then there's something behind there for you. Your odds of financial reward, I think, are much better when you're doing stuff that you love. And then the last thing on this is that, and I don't know if you want this or not, but you'll become a magnet for others who share the same sort of passions. And it's just a vibe. You've run into people like this, and it could be anyone. I have run into waiters in restaurants that I could tell absolutely loved their job. And I loved it every time they came by my table. I loved having them there. They were into it. They knew what to ask me. They knew when to ask me. They knew what to recommend. They had an energy about them that was just like, wow, I like hanging around with you. And that happens when people are happy doing what they're doing. So how do we apply this all to our regular life? Because let's face it, a big chunk of our regular life, for most of us, is doing stuff that we're not as crazy about as what we're talking about right here. That may never change, right? I mean, sometimes we get to do all of this that I'm talking about for a living. Most of the time, we don't. But you never know how it's going to play out for you. And the way that I always recommend, you know, I get asked this all the time. I want to be a professional photographer. How do I go about doing it? The first thing that I think you should do is, of course, become good at photography. And I got an interesting news piece for you in the next segment that kind of, it'll tell you why I'm giggling a little bit here. But anyway, first thing you should do is become good at photography. And then the second thing you should do is find out what you're passionate about, what you want to shoot. And then the third thing you should do is develop three other things that are going to produce money while you're doing this. Because most of us don't get to jump into exactly what we want to do at 22 years old. It doesn't work that way most of the time. But we can navigate in that direction. And then maybe what we're passionate about becomes a bigger part of our life, becomes a bigger part of our life. And then it is our life. In my case, it was interesting. I was always doing more or less what I wanted to do in terms of profession. I was either in writing, graphics, or photography most of the time. But I wasn't doing it with the subject material that I loved. I mean, I spent 9 years in a communications department for healthcare. I think healthcare is super important. And God bless people that are in the healthcare industry. But it wasn't my passion. I didn't love it. It was a job. And as a job, I had a hard time doing it sometimes. Even though I had a camera in my hand or I was, you know, writing stories about it or whatever. The way I looked at it is that I'm still getting better at my craft, even though I'm not working on things that I'm passionate about. So I'm going to stay up at night and work on the things that I'm passionate about using these same tools. And maybe someday I won't have to stay up late at night to do it. And what happened was over time, I didn't have to stay up as late. What I did during the day became more what I was interested in. And then O'Reilly laid me off, right? They closed their department 6 or 7 years ago, whenever it happened. And then there I was, suddenly full-time, doing what I wanted to do. But I was ready. So the universe, I think the universe sort of said, okay, he can make the leap now. He probably wouldn't have otherwise because of the safety net that comes with working for someone else. So the point is here, just keep doing it. See if that scale begins to tip a little bit more in your balance. So I put this all under the umbrella of finding your place in the world of photography. But the bottom line is, after it's all said and done, is that it's more than just what you do with the camera. It's what you're pointing the camera at. Point it at something that you love or that you're really interested in or that you're passionate about. And I think you'll see things start to accelerate in terms of developing your freelance career, developing a revenue stream, and maybe even someday doing it full time. In the news, Canon releases 2016 Photography Trends Study, as reported by Photography Blog. This is interesting to me, and it does kind of hook on to what we were just talking about. I'm just going to read you the blurb, and then I'll discuss it a bit. This survey of 1,004 adult U.S. consumers has revealed a surprising degree of self-confidence among amateur photographers, with 80% of the respondents claiming to have, quote, good to excellent photography skills, and 62% boasting that their snapping skills have improved in the past 2 to 5 years. Food photography appears to be one of the favorite genres, with more than half of the consumers taking food photos to show off a personal creation or new recipe. More than 1 in 4 respondents admit that they share photos of food to brag or to give friends and family, FOMO, fear of missing out. Do you say FOMO? I don't know. This survey has also revealed that more people take photos of their pets than of themselves, even as 57% confess to taking selfies on a regular basis. Less surprising, the majority, 80%, are capturing photos during family gatherings and holidays. Okay, so that is the Canon report. And there's a couple things there that fascinate me. Some don't surprise me at all. But the fact is that 80% of these respondents claim to have good to excellent photography skills. 80%. I'm not sure where that comes from. That has got to be an attitude thing, right? Because I see a lot of photos, and I would say, in my opinion, 80% of the population out there toting smartphones, by the way, which are doing a lot of the work for us, still are not excellent because the composition's not good, or they have no understanding of light at all. So I'm fascinated by that. And I think to some degree that may be part of the attitude why we're seeing a decline in hiring professionals and enthusiast freelancers for things like weddings and stuff like that, because, well, a lot of people think that they're really good at photography. I don't agree with that. I really don't. I think a lot of people are adequate at photography to meet the needs that they have. But as photographers, and maybe the question wasn't phrased that way, no, 80% are not excellent. That is not a fact. I'll be honest with you. I would have a hard time rating myself as an excellent photographer. I really, really would. If I was taking that survey or someone was asking me and they said, how would you rate yourself as a photographer? I would say that I feel comfortable using a camera. I think I have some understanding of light. I think I'm a good photographer and I'm trying to get better every day. Now, I'm sure there wasn't a checkbox for that particular sentence, but if I had to choose a checkbox, I would say I'm good and not excellent. So I find that fascinating, and I'm not sure how this all fits into what I was talking about earlier, other than if you're going to distinguish yourself from all these folks, then again, what you're photographing seems to be more important than ever in terms of something that you care about, something that you're passionate about, so that you can excel because you've got to rise above 80% of the population here. Anyway, I was just fascinated by that. I'm probably being far too jaded. Yeah, I understand that. I have a tendency to do that sometimes. Let's just say my tongue is in cheek, and we're going to move on to the next story. Shop Talk. Comments from members of our community posted on the Digital Story Facebook page. So I have some great comments from last week's show, Cats and Dogs, Dogs and Cats. And I'm going to share three of them with you right now. Before I read them, though, I just want to tell you, I loved all the comments. I really did. I loved reading the comments about last week's show. It was very enjoyable. And mainly, I picked these three because I thought they were a bit more concise than some of the other ones that, even though I enjoyed reading them, they'd be a little bit longer for me to read on the air. Anyway, so I'm going to start out with, and again, last week's show, if you didn't have a chance to catch it, was about, you know, how did you end up using Nikon or a PC or whatever, right? And how did that happen? So that's what that show was about. Graham wrote, "It's taken me time to understand what I personally want from my photography, and that is to spend more time with the camera and close to zero with the computer, though I wasn't always that way." And before he wrote that particular set of sentences there, he talked about his evolution and the cameras that he's using and how the JPEGs are so good these days and he can use photos or OS X and all that. But his bottom line is now, you know, he wants to spend more time with the camera and less time on the computer. And I thought that was interesting. Matthew added, "Choosing Olympus mirrorless, the EM10, is how I got hooked on listening to your podcast. In my research to switching to mirrorless to lighten the load, as I wasn't taking my DSLR with me, I found the Nimble Photographer webpage. It was like a website that was speaking right to me and my desire to keep it light. As for the PC, I have always been on the PC platform. In the world of photography today, I feel like the odd man out still using the PC platform. Most of the coverage seems to slant about all things Apple." Well, you know, the one thing I want to say about that, Matthew, is, yeah, I know the coverage kind of slants the Apple way because I think people that are writing and doing podcasts and stuff do tend to use the Mac more. But in the world of photography, it's very balanced. A lot of people are using Lightroom and Photoshop on Windows, and for good reason. That hardware is a good value, and that software runs very well on it. So sorry, being one of those journalists that talk mostly about the Mac, I apologize for that. But no, you're in good company, believe me, using a Windows machine. And finally, Bill wrote, "I chose Nikon simply because my soon-to-be wife had a Nikon film camera. I had a Kodak digital camera in the early days, but once my kids came along, I got much more serious about my photography since I now had such an interesting and fast-moving subject. My wife, knowing Nikon, got me a D50, and from there, things just took off for me. Still in the Nikon family with a D7000. So I guess you could say, I chose Nikon because of love." Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everyone, for contributing to last week's show by adding your comments. I encourage you to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. Comment on anything, the podcast, some other story that goes up. I usually put up a couple a day. And I enjoy reading. I will respond as I can. And I like sharing the comments on the show. So let's keep it rolling. A word about buying new gear. I haven't mentioned this for a while, and I was thinking the other day, man, I really should. So if you plan on making an online purchase, please consider clicking on our Amazon link or our B&H photo link first, then navigate to the item you're looking for once you're at that site. By doing so, you're helping to support this podcast, and it doesn't cost you a dime. And the way that works is that I have affiliate accounts with both of those vendors. They're two of my favorite. And when you click on the link on the Digital Story first, and we have tiles, right? So we have add tiles that run in the second column. one for B&H, one for Amazon. We have Linda there too. If you click on that tile first, it takes you over to the site, and then you can search for whatever you want. And when you do that, it sets a cookie so that that purchase gets credited to the digital story. And that revenue really does help pay the bills, helps pay the ISP fees. We do all of our own backing up. We do all of this stuff ourselves here. The site and the podcast, all handcrafted. I have an admin who helps me with the, you know, the technical side of running the site. We do a lot of under the hood stuff here. And so when you do that, it really helps out, and I really appreciate it. All right, just a couple updates here. I do want to mention that the Apple Photos book for photographers is getting ready to come out. I think it's going to be out at the end of this month, published by Rocky Nook. I'm so excited. So we have a sign-up page that Rocky Nook has created, and I have a link in the show notes. I have links to everything in the show notes. If you're interested in really learning how to use this app for more serious photography, not just snapshooter photography, I think you're going to like this book. We're going to come out as an ebook first. Then we're going to see what happens at WWDC. We'll update the ebook, and then we'll make the print book from there. And if you go to the sign-up page, then we will keep you posted as all this stuff happens. Plus, you'll get a discount on the initial purchase. Plus, you'll get very reduced costs on the subsequent ebooks. You won't have to buy it all over again. So the sign-up link is in the show notes, or you can just go to Rocky Nook and search for the Apple Photos book for photographers. Either way. Or you can send me an email and I'll send you the link. Whatever works for you. And then finally, I want to thank the folks at Red River Paper for sponsoring this podcast and sponsoring me in the out of Chicago. Just had a conversation with them last week, and we were planning on our giveaways for out of Chicago. If you're in the Midwest in June, I hope you have a chance to come over there. I think it's a terrific conference, and we're doing a lot of stuff there. But we're going to focus in a couple of the sessions on making fine art greeting cards. And I'm going to show folks how to do it with Photos for OS 10, with Lightroom, maybe with Photoshop. I don't know. I haven't decided yet on that. For sure, Lightroom and Photos for OS 10. And then everyone is going to get cardstock, quality fine art cardstock, and envelopes that's joining those sessions. So it's going to be a blast. And then you're going to go away with stuff, and then you can fire up your own inkjet printer. This is the kind of stuff that happens when you hang out with the folks at Red River Paper. They just make output fun. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. See you next week. Bye-bye now.